If you have digestive disorders, your diet can play a big role in managing or minimizing your symptoms. Today we'll learn about IBD, or inflammatory bowel disease, as it relates to nutrition and foods you should eat and avoid if you have it. Let's talk about it today with Dr. Razvan Arsenescu, the chief of the Atlantic Digestive Health Institute and director of the Inflammatory Bowel Diseases Center at Morristown Medical Center of Excellence. This is Building Healthier Communities, the podcast from Atlantic Medical Group. I'm Prakash Chandran. So first of all, Dr. Arsenescu, I'd love to learn about what IBD is.
So inflammatory bowel disease come in two flavors. One is called Crohn's disease, the other one ulcerative colitis. They are diseases of the gut. However, other parts of the body can be involved since this is a kind of an autoimmune type condition where the immune system attacks its own body. The fundamentals of the diseases relate to the gut bacteria, gut microbiome, to the genetics of the host, but also to environment that includes diet, smoke exposures, and toxins.
Yeah, I want to dive into some of those symptoms. But before we do, I have some friends with Crohn's disease. And from what they've told me, this autoimmune disease is one that is not curable. It's something that can be treated and managed over time. Is that correct?
Yes, this is correct. In fact, ulcerative colitis patients could have a cure in terms of surgery where the whole colon is removed. But in the absence of that surgery, and certainly not in the case of Crohn's, there is no cure. And then we have multiple treatments that are designed to put the disease in a dormant state without any medical therapy that will allow disease to disappear.
So regardless of whether people have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, what type of symptoms are they experiencing?
So common symptoms to both conditions should be diarrhea, which we mean loose stools or liquid stools like water, some gas, bloating sometimes, abdominal pain in form of cramps. In cases such as Crohn's disease, we can see symptoms from a blockage, a narrowing of the bowel that results in nausea or vomiting. Bleeding can occur with both conditions, with blood in the stool. However, that would be more common with the ulcerative colitis. And then in both conditions, we can see symptoms relating to inflammation in other parts of the body, such as joint pain, back pain. People can experience ulcers, like cold sores in their mouth. They can have similar to a pink eye with a red eye with pain. They can experience ulcers on the skin or nodules and bumps that are itchy and painful on the legs. And it's also important to note that a good deal of patients could have significant bowel disease that it's not linked to symptoms. So the absence of symptoms is not necessarily indicating that there is no activity and no disease in the gut too. Sometimes can be tricky to identify activity or disease at the beginning.
Yeah, so what is the clearest indication that something might be wrong, and when should you seek the help of a professional like yourself?
So I think that the most important thing is it's chronicity. So if somebody has symptoms that last for weeks, that is certainly a reason to see a specialist. Especially worrisome findings such as blood in the stool, weight loss, that should trigger a fairly early presentation. But also, obviously, blockage symptoms like nausea, vomiting, inability to eat, unexplained fevers and chills, they should be sort of flags that should trigger a fairly soon meeting with a specialist.
Okay, so I guess, you know, today we're talking about IBD and nutrition, and I'd love to learn a little bit more about that relationship and other potential risk factors that could cause IBD.
Sure. So starting with the risk of inflammatory bowel disease, having parents, siblings with inflammatory bowel disease will increase your chances. And depending on how close those relatives are to you in terms of first or second degree, you could have a risk that can vary anywhere from 5 to 30-40%. Even starting from the pregnancy, a premature birth, for instance, can lead to abnormal development of the immune system, a change in gut microbiome that can alter the risk of these conditions. Delivery, for instance, C-section versus vaginal delivery can lead to different exposure to bacteria and alter the risk. A big factor that we see is also use of antibiotics in the first 2-3 years of life can be a major determinant of disease onset. Also relating to this time of life, nursing can be a protective factor. So children that were nursed for more than 6 months appear to have protection from development of the disease. And later in life, I think exercise plays a role, and diet, as we're going to discuss it, especially the lack of fresh fruit vegetables, meals having animal fat, salt, typically are more likely to lead to these problems.
Yeah, so let's talk specifically about the role of nutrition in managing IBD. Let's say you get it. Talk about how diet plays a role in this.
So when we talk about a diet, we have to sort of talk about goals of diet. And we can think of diet as calming down symptoms. We can talk about diet helping healing the colon, which may not necessarily always mean the symptoms will be better or worse, preventing cancer, and then looking at nutrition, obviously, as a means of bringing nutrients that are needed to the building blocks of the body, to the daily activities, and then looking at diet even as a lifestyle, since obesity, which is connected to what we eat and how we eat, is a major determinant of the complications and the degree of inflammation in patients with inflammatory bowel disease.
You know, one of the things that I'm curious to learn about is, you know, you talked about some of the potential barriers to someone getting IBD, but when do you usually see these autoimmune diseases manifest? Is it generally earlier in life and then, you know, someone at a young age will have to, you know, kind of live with it through treatment options and diet throughout their life, or does it manifest later?
So the highest peak of the disease is anywhere from 10 to 20 years old patients, and then a second peak, it's around the age of 40. However, we see the disease happening either super early, like right after birth, and then we see disease that happens in the 6th, 7th, or 8th decade. The earlier the disease is diagnosed, the more genetic component we see, whereas in patients that develop this later, we believe that environment, including diet, probably plays a higher role.
Got it. And so coming back to the nutrition, what foods should people avoid if they have an IBD disorder like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis?
So this is a great question. One thing that we see over and over in terms of research and other large registry data is that the lack of fresh fruits and vegetables in particular is a risk factor for both. And the reason is that the fresh products are partially digested, and the undigested part becomes food for the gut microbes, especially for those that produce molecules that block inflammation and may even have a role in preventing cancer. Some of the specific elements in the diet are everyday things that we probably don't think about, but salt, for instance, have been connected to specific inflammatory pathways that lead to gut inflammation. Vitamin D, for instance, that people only think about bone disease and bone prevention, actually now has been found to play a significant role in the healing of the gut in both Crohn's and ulcerative colitis and even in prevention of cancer.
Right. So lots of vitamin D, lots of fresh fruits and vegetables are strong proponents for things that they should eat if they have this. Is that correct?
Correct. And then there are some ubiquitous components of many of the food items we buy. And we don't pay attention. For instance, the emulsifiers, carrageenan, colorants that we find as additives, in fact, now have been found to be major destructors of the gut microbiome and then secondarily leading to aggravation of autoimmune conditions such as Crohn's and ulcerative colitis.
So, you know, if someone listening to this has one of the two diseases that you mentioned and they want to, you know, live with it in the most comfortable way possible, what's your best recommendation to them? Like, you know, we've talked a little bit today about some of the things that they should be eating and some of the things that they should stay away from. But, you know, how have you seen people manage it the best? You know, what are they eating? What are they doing? And any advice that you might have for just helping them deal with it a little bit more effectively?
So the most important thing to know is that diet is not a replacement of medication. It's complementary to that. And then diet will not, it may help symptoms in the short term, but to make a difference in terms of healing, it is a long-term change. So probably the diet that really has most of the elements required for healing and for symptom control is what we call a Mediterranean diet. And this diet is heavily represented of this fresh vegetables, having more white meat than red meat, having couple of days a week of wild-caught seafood, incorporating olive oil, nuts and seeds, So this is overall probably the best diet to follow for inflammatory bowel disease. However, some of the fresh fruit vegetables can lead to more fermentation and can create symptoms, although without inflammation. And sometimes we do a modification of this diet by selecting fresh fruit vegetables from a list that also belong to a diet called a low FODMAP, which is spelled F-O-D-M-A-P. So this is an acronym for some complex sugars, but having a Mediterranean diet with a selection of fresh fruit vegetables that are in agreement with this low FODMAP selection, I think overall will likely help many patients with the disease. And again, paying attention not to have high salt, having the right amounts of vitamin D, B12, and zinc, it's most likely to help overall manage the disease.
All right, Dr. Arsenesco, really appreciate your time today. That's Dr. Ravon Arsenesco, the chief of the Atlantic Digestive Health Institute and director of the Inflammatory Bowel Diseases Center at Morristown Medical Center of Excellence. Thanks for checking out this episode of Building Healthier Communities. Call 973-971-7507 to schedule an appointment or to find out more. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. Thanks, and we'll talk next time.